Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray.
Hi folks, this is Bob Main, your host of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to episode number 21 of the Handgun World Show. It is Tuesday, December the 22nd, 3 days from Christmas. Can't believe it. So let me take this opportunity to say Merry Christmas to all of you. You might not get a chance to listen to this till the 23rd of December. As I am speaking, I am driving down the interstate, returning home from a business trip. I'm on Interstate 35 between Oklahoma City and Dallas-Fort Worth. For some of you who don't know, I live in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm a Yankee by birth, but I live in North Texas, so I guess they call me a damn Yankee in these parts. But anyway, you are tuning in to one of the more practical handgun shows on the internet. We talk about a lot of practical ownership and firearms, handguns in particular, but I am not a gunsmith. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, this is not a real technical show. I'm probably not going to talk to you about all the doodads and accessories and how to trick out some of your 1911s and how to trick out that AR-15 and stuff like that. Not me. I'm not ex-military and I'm not law enforcement. I'm just a private citizen who believes we have the absolute right to protect ourselves, and I am a concealed carry license holder, and I carry a firearm every day for personal protection, and I highly believe in it. So thanks again. If you are a first-time listener, I am honored. Today's subject matter, this show, episode 21, is going to be about things like maintenance of firearms. And as I mentioned, I'm not a gunsmith, but I've learned some things through trial and error, so I'm going to talk a lot about my own personal experiences, what has worked and what has not. And we'll get into a little bit of talk on accessories, but mostly on maintenance and things like that. Now, before I get into that, a couple of quick announcements. The main website, handgunworld.com. That's probably how you found us. We're also on iTunes, so you can search Handgun World Show and get automatic downloads from iTunes. Please subscribe if you're so inclined. And also, if you are the type of person that is into survivalism and self-sufficiency and personal responsibility and things like how to live a more secure life, I do another show a couple of times a week called Today's Survival Show, and we talk about how to live a more secure life. So you can find that at www.todayssurvival.com. How do you like that? That's it for the announcements, real quick. And by the way, I'm very respectful of your time, so we're going to have a relatively short show. I know it's the holiday season, and some of you are probably taking time off for Christmas already. And by the way, Merry Christmas, as I mentioned when I opened up the show. I'm not a politically correct person at all. So I'm going to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Okay? And with that said, I promised I would talk about maintenance of handguns, so let's first of all talk about oiling guns. Kind of, this is a pretty argumentative subject. You get a lot of different opinions on what you should do. Here's a general rule of thumb that I'd like to share with you. And folks, I want to tell you that it's okay to disagree with what you hear on this show. It makes for good discussion. So if you have another point of view and it's something that's worked for you, or if you think I'm all full of baloney on some subjects, please put a comment. There's a special section in the blog posting for every show on comments. I like to get them because this is how I make the show better. I think as a general rule of thumb, try to avoid over lubrication of most firearms. Now, I've heard people say that with 1911 style firearms that you can't over lube them. I take exception to that. Now, there are certain types of lubrication I'm going to talk about that might be a little tough to overlook. In other words, you're probably not going to hurt the gun too much except for certain types of guns, certain makes. But since I brought up the subject of 1911s, let's talk a little bit about that. I've heard people say that it collects a lot of dust and it collects a lot of grime and dirt and stuff if you over-lubricate a handgun. You know, I like to use a lubricant called Militech. M-I-L-I-T-E-C. Used by the military. I love that stuff. Brake Free CLP is pretty good lubricant. Also, REM oil. Even just some good old gun grease. That's good. Another lubricant called Gun Butter. That's good. Most of the good quality lubricants today, they're made pretty well, especially Militech, so as not to gum up the inside of your gun too much. With the exception, probably, of a Glock. Now, I've talked a lot about Glock pistols because I happen to be a big fan of them. I'm not saying that you're got a bad gun if you don't have a Glock. Don't get me wrong on that. Now, those you want to avoid over-lubing. One of the biggest problems people have with a Glock. Yes, people do have problems with Glocks, folks. If somebody says to you, I never, ever, ever, ever have a problem with the pistol, 90% of the time, they're probably stretching the truth a little bit. One of the big problems with the Glock pistol, and a lot of others, with the exception of maybe a 1911, is over-lubing. Now, you might say, well, Bob, you're contradicting yourself. You just got done saying that modern lubricants are going to be okay, but don't over-lube. With a Glock, they are actually designed to run pretty dry. So even if you do have a pretty good quality lubricant, try to stay away from that. If you look at the manual, the Glock Armorer's manual, it says pretty much about 5 or 6 drops of oil. Drops, that's it. Not 5 or 6 long squirts of oil and not a lot of oil, just drops. In fact, a rule of thumb with any handgun when you're oiling it, take a little oil and put it on the end of a Q-tip. And just swab it on the parts that you want to oil with a Q-tip. This helps keep some of the excess from coming out of the oil applicator and going all over your gun, especially with the Glock. And again, just look at the manual. There's 5 or 6 places that are really critical. One of them is oiling the trigger bar area on that particular type of pistol. And with a 1911, my humble opinion is, yeah, they like to be wet when they're being shot, but I really think you probably could do more damage, not from a standpoint of attracting grime and dirt and stuff, but I think you're just going to be asking for problems if you over-lube it, especially if lubrication. I've seen people put so much oil on a gun that it starts to, you can see it running out from where the slide and the frame meet together. You can see it start dripping out of there. Now you're way over-lubing the pistol. So try to avoid that as much as you can. Again, guns like Glock, Springfield XDs, Smith & Wesson M&Ps, they like to be kind of dry. And you ever seen those torture tests on Glocks where they degrease the whole gun and they dry it out and run it over with a pickup truck and then they stick some magazines in it and they fire 100 rounds and it fires perfectly? Wouldn't suggest that you do that to your handgun, okay? I mean, that kind of stuff makes for good advertisements, but not necessarily what you want to do to something that you're going to defend your life with. Now, next subject I want to talk about is cleaning. Whether the gun has been fired or not, I would suggest that any good concealed carry defensive pistol that you're going to bet your life on, clean it at least once a month. And again, I don't care whether you've shot it or not. Especially guns that you carry in a pocket. Small guns that you carry in your pockets. You ever look at how much dirt and debris ends up in your pockets every day? Just empty your pockets out and take a look at it sometimes. You know, you'll get little bits of food and coffee creamer and, you know, donut frosting and mud and dirt and things like that. All these artifacts that end up in your pocket from your work environment are also going to find your way into, guess what? Your pistol. And again, that's why I say, even if you haven't been shooting it, just clean it once a month. The other good thing about cleaning a gun once a month is it gets you used to doing it. It's a good practice. Dirty guns, one of the biggest causes of malfunctions. It also gets you used to learning the different parts of your gun. You'll really get to know your firearm and how it works by cleaning it. The first few times, I would suggest just a basic field strip, just to get it clean and lubricated properly. You also need to know how to do what's called detail stripping your gun. In other words, taking the whole thing completely apart and putting it back together. That's some of the most valuable experience you can get, especially if you have to fix the gun and there's nobody available to do it, even if it's replacing a simple little part. If there's nobody available to do it and you're in a situation where you may need to defend your life, all those times that you spent cleaning and taking apart your gun and putting it back together will definitely pay off. And folks, I just went by a pretty nasty accident. Wow. On Interstate 35. I hope those people are okay. But boy, the closer we get to holiday times and holiday travel, I got to be careful on this road while I'm trying to dictate this podcast to you and also get home safely. Okay, and with that said, let's get back on topic here. Before you start to take apart your gun, let me just share a couple tips with you. First of all, make sure that your gun and magazines are completely clear of ammunition. This might sound obvious. You might be going, yeah, no kidding, Bob. Well, I got to put that disclaimer out there because I've heard way too many horror stories of people not clearing that of ammunition. Make sure that no ammo is anywhere, even in the vicinity of your cleaning area. I've always wondered about stories that you hear. You know, you've probably heard lots of them. People who accidentally shoot themselves while cleaning their gun. That one's always puzzled me. Alright? Because I think the only way that that could happen is if you're an idiot. And you don't check, double check, triple check, and go through all kinds of hoops to make sure that that thing is not loaded or there's no ammunition anywhere near that. I don't know. It's just always that getting shot when they're cleaning their gun thing has always kind of puzzled me. I don't get that one. Maybe if some of you want to shed some light on that, I'd welcome some comments. All right. And the next thing I want you to do is prepare a nicely lit and well-ventilated area. Some of these oils and some of these cleaning solvents and bore solvents and stuff don't smell very good, and might work yourself up into a nice little high with some of the bore solvent, but I would suggest doing it in a ventilated area. Have some eye protection. That's very important. Put on your shooting glasses when you're cleaning a gun, especially when you're popping the recoil spring out. Heard a lot of stories. I've never done it, but I've heard a lot of stories. People sending that recoil spring right into their eye. Man, that's got to hurt. And make sure that it's just a good area, work environment. I would suggest keeping children away from that area, too. Not a very good idea to have kids around, I would say, when you're cleaning your gun. Unless you're teaching them how to clean their weapons and make sure that they're under strict supervising from you, and of course demonstrate to them how safe you should be with a weapon. Alright, so once you have done that, I would suggest starting with your magazines. Disassemble the magazine, and then clean it, and reassemble each magazine separately. Get out your owner's manual. It'll say in your owner's manual with any firearm how to take the magazine out. Now again, obviously I'm talking about a semi-automatic handgun. And the basic parts that you're going to have to a magazine on a semi-automatic handgun is you're obviously going to have the body. You're going to have a base plate. You're going to have that little plate that's on the very bottom of the magazine, and there's going to be a specific method for taking that off. Remove that base plate. Be careful, because the spring is going to have a lot of tension. There's going to be a magazine spring in there. That spring is going to slide out. On top of that spring is going to be what's called a follower, which is what follows the bullets right up the magazine body as you're firing the gun. So you're going to have a follower that's probably going to detach itself from the spring, most likely. And that's pretty much about the basic parts that you're going to have. And you want to clean out the magazine. Now, you may not have to do this at first with brand new magazines. Probably no dirt has worked their way into them. So the first few times you clean your gun, you may not need to clean your magazines. One thing I like about Glocks and guns like that is, I tell you what, their magazines are just amazingly durable and reliable. And with a semi-automatic pistol, the magazine is what runs your gun. A lot of malfunctions are due to bad or dirty magazines or weak springs or bad followers. So those are all things that you want to know how to replace. Follow the instructions on the owner's manual. Okay, so once you've got that magazine taken apart, brush out the body of the magazine. Get some of the loose gunpowder out of there. Put some solvent on a patch and remove some of the fouling and the gunk from the follower and that base plate I was telling you about. Straighten out some of the twisted mag springs one coil at a time if they are twisted. You got to make sure that that follower sits squarely on top of that spring. And one of the things that I've heard people do that I would never advise you to do, never stretch a shortened or what we call a dead spring. Don't stretch it. If the thing is, if you're going to try to increase the tension by stretching it out, not a good thing. It just fatigues the spring further. Just replace it. Most magazine springs are not very expensive. I've got about, I think last count, I've got 9 or 10 different magazine springs for my Glocks and some extra magazines for my car pistols, magazine springs. And as far, since we're on the subject of magazines, I've heard the question asked, how many magazines should I have? I'm going to take a little sidetrack here from maintenance for a minute. And let's talk about, you know, what you should have. Now, I'm not going to spend your money for you, okay? You know what your budget is, but I'm going to help you set some goals. A good rule of thumb is to have a minimum of, this is minimum, of 10 high-capacity, since high-capacity magazines are still legal, get them while you can, 10 high-capacity magazines for every caliber that you own. Now, for me, right now, I only own two pistol calibers, 9mm and 380. Okay, so I have got 10 magazines for my 380, and I've got about 40 magazines for my Glock 9mm. And I know this is the Handgun World Show, but I would say same goes for any magazine-fed semi-automatic rifles that you have and any magazine-fed shotguns. Minimum 10. Set a goal of having 20 of each caliber, and then you're going to be set. You know, magazines are like $100 bills. You never have enough of them. And as I mentioned, those are some of the most important parts of your gun if you have a semi-automatic. If you have a revolver, get a lot of moon clips. If you have the type that can use moon clips to reload, have a lot of the speed loaders or moon clips. You know, I would say 10 of each of those for each caliber as well. I'm not as familiar with revolvers as I am with semi-automatics, so forgive a little bit of my ignorance on revolvers. But for you revolver enthusiasts, if you've got some feedback on how many speed loaders that you typically keep, I'd like to hear some of that. Okay, now since we're on the subject of magazines, one more thing I want to say. Magazines do not require lubrication. I repeat, they do not require lubrication. You might want to run a silicone gun cloth inside that magazine tube if you want. That's only pretty much if you live in a high humidity environment and, you know, if rust you think might be an issue, you know, if you've got metal magazines and things. But don't go dumping a bunch of oil inside the magazine. Bad no-no, you don't need to do that. Just keep them clean, keep the springs changed, make sure that there's no deformities in the magazine lips and good followers, and you should be good to go. Make sure your base plate's not cracked and stuff like that. Okay, now, proceed with field stripping your pistol. Follow the instructions. Every one is just a tad bit different. Usually there's going to be what's called a takedown lever. That's the typical name for it. There's going to be some kind of a lever or something that you're going to have to push in order to be able to complete slotting that slide off of the frame of the pistol. Again, we're talking about semi-automatics. Once you've got that thing field stripped, basically it's going to a basic field strip, you're going to pretty much have five parts. You're going to have the frame, you're going to have the slide, you're going to have what's called the recoil assembly, which is going to have a recoil spring and a recoil guide rod. And then you're going to have, sometimes the takedown lever itself comes out of the pistol. Like with my car arms pistol, the actual slide stop lever actually comes right out. That's one of the methods for taking it down. Pretty much those are the only, with a semi-automatic pistol, the only parts that you're going to have. Do a quick inspection of those parts. Unless you're brand spanking new to owning a firearm, you'll probably be able to figure out with a quick glance if you've got anything that just doesn't quite look right. A broken part or a bent part, things like that. It shouldn't take very long. You should be able to size those up and see what you've got there. And when it comes to spare parts, a lot of people ask, how many spare parts should I have? And I covered a little bit of this in one of the other episodes when I talked about accessories and things. I would strongly suggest that you have at least three or four recoil springs, especially if you do a whole lot of shooting. Recoil springs are usually pretty quick to wear out. I think I mentioned in one of my other shows, the trigger return spring on a Glock seems to break rather, probably the weakest part of the whole gun, so I have a couple of extra trigger return springs. Of course, magazine springs have at least a half a dozen of those. You notice I'm using the word springs a lot, because in semi-automatic pistols, they're so dependent on springs. If you have a 1911, have an extra mainspring as well. People ask, well, do I need extra barrels? I don't think so. Not unless you're doing a barrel conversion, unless you're converting your gun from one caliber to another. I don't really see too many reasons to have extra barrels. I don't know anybody that's actually worn out a barrel of a pistol. That's a heck of a lot of shooting for most modern day, modern technology pistols. And, you know, of course, you don't need an extra slide and stuff like that. Some of the inner parts, like the sear parts and things, you might want to have, maybe, have some extra parts, you know, for those. But, you know, as long as you got your springs, I think you're going to be in good shape. It doesn't hurt to have an extra set of sights, especially an extra front sight, once you figure out which one you like. Have an extra front sight. Those can break easily. Front sights are going to break a lot easier than rear sights, especially if you're using some type of fiber optic front sight. A lot of times that fiber optic insert can come out of there, so have some extra inserts handy and learn how to replace those as well. And let's see, what else, what are the kind of parts do I think that you probably should have extra, besides ammo, of course, which shouldn't be anywhere near the gun when you're cleaning it, right? I think that'll do it as far as extra parts. Now, you got it field stripped. I would suggest running some patches with bore solvent through that barrel. You know, if you've got a wire brush, run that brush through there, loosen up some of that gunk inside the barrel, let that solvent work its way through and loosen up some of the stuff in your barrel, and then run some wet patches through it and just let it sit for a few minutes while you're working on some of the other things. And then after you've let that sit for about 5 minutes or so, let some of that solvent dissolve some of that gunk, then run more patches through the barrel until the patches come out dry and free of dirt. Then you've got a pretty good clean barrel. When I'm out in the field, another good part you might want to have is you might want to have what's called a bore snake. I like bore snakes. Bore snakes are a device that you can run through the barrel of your unloaded weapon. And it's not, ladies and gentlemen, a substitute for good cleaning patches and cleaning rods and bore solvent. All right? Not at all. But it's a good device just to kind of keep it somewhat cleaned while you're out at the range. When I go to IDPA matches or any kind of a training class, after every 100 rounds or so, I like to run my bore snake through my Glock. And you can get them for almost any caliber, and you can get them for rifles and shotguns too. So have a couple of bore snakes, and by doing this show, it just reminded me, mine's kind of worn out. I've had it for quite a while now, so I need to stop over at, we have Academy Sports and Outdoor Stores here in North Texas. I need to get myself some bore snakes. Probably tomorrow when I go pick up some extra ammo. After you've cleaned the barrel, proceed with the lubrication procedures. And again, as I mentioned, careful of over-lubing, but just follow the instructions. Every good firearm has excellent lubrication instructions. And then just go in reverse. Once you're done lubricating it, put everything back together. Typically, you start by inserting the barrel into the slide the same way that it came out. Make sure that it's locked into the slide, and then put your recoil spring assembly back. This is where you need to be careful. All right, make sure that when you're putting that recoil spring back into a semi-automatic pistol, this may sound kind of basic, all right, but I've got some new gun owners that listen to this show. Keep that recoil spring pointed away from your face. I can't tell you how many times, and it still happens every once in a while. My fingers, especially if they're kind of oily after I've cleaned my gun, my fingers can slip off that recoil spring while I'm trying to compress it and put it back into the pistol, and it goes flying across the room. I would rather have that recoil spring fly across the room than fly into my left eye. So be careful of that. After you've got the recoil spring put back into it, if you have the type of gun that has a removable slide stop lever, there's probably going to be a very specific process when you put it back together. Follow the instructions. If not, typically it's just a matter of lining up the slide onto the guide rails and pushing that slide all the way back to the rear of the gun, and it should be put back together by that time. Again, just to make sure, double check that the chamber's unloaded, and then perform a function check. Pull the trigger on the gun, make sure it fires properly. If it's a striker-fired pistol, you'll be able to hear it. If it's a hammer-fired pistol, like a 1911, you'll be able to see if that hammer's dropping properly, like it should, and going into the right place. Don't worry, most of today's modern semi-automatic handguns, most of them are not. You're not going to hurt them by dry firing them. Now, if you're going to do a lot of dry firing practice, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dry fires every day, it is advisable to get snap caps and put snap caps in there to protect your firing pin. I don't dry fire that much. Maybe I should, but I don't. So I don't use snap caps, and with a Glock, it's almost pretty much impossible to hurt that thing dry firing it anyway. But if you feel more comfortable, snap caps don't cost much. Get some of those. The other thing you want to do with a function check, put an unloaded magazine, very important, unloaded magazine into your semi-automatic pistol, and pull that slide all the way back and make sure that it's locking open. Make sure that your slide lock, your slide stop is working properly, and you'll be able to tell. Completely seat a magazine, an empty magazine in there, and pull that slide back, and it should not go forward again until you pop the magazine out and manually release that slide forward. That's pretty much your function check right there. You should notice the gun should cycle more smoothly if you've got it lubed up nicely. And I think you'll be happy with pretty much those cleaning procedures. And, oh, one more thing I forgot to mention before you put that gun back together. It's a good idea to take a little patch with a little bit of bore solvent on it, just a little, not too much, and wipe down the breech face, which is the part of the slide that actually comes into contact with the back of the round of ammunition. Clean that breech face real good. A lot of black gunk builds up right there, especially if you haven't cleaned your gun in a while. Make sure that the slide rails are cleaned out nicely. No black stuff into the slide rails. And all the parts where it looks like there shouldn't be black stuff, get the black stuff out of there. I like to use a Q-tip with very little bit of bore solvent on it, and I like to just get all the black junk out of my pistol with a Q-tip, and sometimes I go through 15 or 20 Q-tips, but I like to do that because I can get those into areas that are difficult to get my fingers into. And one more thing you want to make sure, especially with a Glock pistol, but with almost any semi-automatic pistol, when you're oiling it, one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of people make is they get oil into a little channel inside the slide called the firing pin channel. You don't want to get oil into the firing pin channel. What happens is when a lot of oil builds up in there, and if it does attract some gunk, it's going to actually slow down your firing pin. And that's not a good thing, because then you may have misfired rounds, and in a self-defense situation, that could cost you your life. If you look at the underside of a Glock slide, there's a little hole not too far from the breech face. You don't want to let oil fall into that hole. That's the firing pin channel, and I would say with most semi-automatic pistols, you want to keep oil out of there. Okay, so that's pretty much the basic field strip and cleaning. Now, as I mentioned earlier, at times you want to detail strip your gun, take the whole thing apart, thoroughly clean every single part, lube it like it's supposed to be lubed, and put it back together. Okay, now we're getting close to Christmas time. And looks like I've only got, looking at my timer here, I got about 5 more minutes on this podcast. So I want to give you some ideas about transporting firearms. A lot of people are traveling during this time of the year. Maybe if you have not begun your travels yet, or if you are visiting relatives, and you never know, one of them might give you a firearm for Christmas. Or you might take a trip after Christmas, and after your wife has given you that new pistol for Christmas, right? Isn't that great? Huh? Some of us have wives or husbands that give us a pistol for Christmas. You may be traveling with it. If you're traveling by air, I want to talk about how to travel with a handgun on an airplane. This is one of my specialties because I do a lot of air travel for my business. And I take my handguns with me everywhere I go, whether I'm flying or whether I'm driving. So I want to give you some tips. Yes, contrary to popular belief, you can fly on an airplane with a handgun in your checked luggage. Of course. Every airline lets you do it that I know of, at least the ones, the major airlines that I use. Now, everyone has slightly different regulations, but I'm going to give you the basics of what they require. You're going to need to get, for every handgun, a real good hard shell case, hard shell carrying case that's lockable. I would suggest that you get one just barely enough to fit the gun in, because it's going to have to go in your check luggage, and you don't want it taking up too much room in there. It's going to have to be in a hard shell case, and you have to use TSA-approved locks. I made the mistake one time of using a lock that was not TSA-approved, and they would not accept it. So that was one trip I did not get to take my handgun with me. You can go to Walmart, any sporting goods store, and I think even at airports, you can buy TSA-approved locks. Here's what you do. When you get to the ticket counter, you can still use the automated kiosks to check in for your flight. But when you go to check your luggage, you're going to have to actually go up to the counter to check your luggage. And at that point, immediately inform the agent behind the counter. Use these exact words. I have a firearm I wish to declare. You have to, by federal regulations, declare your firearm. If you use that terminology, if you say, I have a firearm I wish to declare, they will know exactly what you mean. Any ticket agent worth their salt, unless they're brand spanking new on the job and this has never happened to them before, and I got one of those, they will know what you mean. They will probably ask you where it is. You tell them that it's in your checked luggage. Be prepared to open up your bag. They're going to ask you to open it up. Okay? Folks, double and triple check your gun. Make sure it's not loaded when you get to the airport. And some ticket agents are going to want you to open up the case that your firearm is in so they can see it. Some leave that up to the personnel that you actually hand your bags to. 95% of the time, that ticket agent gives me a white form, which is a firearms declaration form. And they asked me to fill that form out. It only takes about 60 seconds to fill the form out, folks. It's a piece of cake. Some folks think there's a ton of paperwork in declaring a firearm and taking it on an airplane. There's not. There's not a ton of paperwork. It's a pretty simple process. After you fill that form out, they're going to ask you to open up the case that your gun is in. So if you've got it locked, unlock it. and they're going to ask you to put that form inside the gun case on top of the gun. That's to let the TSA agents know that you have declared that firearm and that it's been checked by the baggage agent. Once you do that, you're free to lock it up again. And be prepared to have a key in your pocket. Because one time I did, even after I completed that process, when I took my bags to the next section to go actually hand them to the guys, the TSA guys that put it into the X-ray machine, they asked me to open it up again, and they have the right to do that if they wish. You know, because they always ask you, you got any firearms in here? And I said, yeah, I just declared it at the ticket counter. And they said, well, we'd like to see it again if you don't mind. And so I had to unlock it again and let them see it. That's their prerogative. That's it. That's the whole process. And then that firearm is inside your checked luggage, and it goes on your flight with you. Hopefully, as long as they don't lose your bags. I've never had my bags with guns in them lost. I've had them delayed. Thank God. I've never had them lost. Once you get to your destination, you just claim your bag like everybody else is claiming your bag, or claiming their bag. And that's it. Now, a couple of things I want you to make sure of. Know the laws. Know the firearms laws of the state or country that you're going to. Now, I've never flown internationally with a pistol, only domestically in the United States. There might be some different procedures, might be some different declaration procedures when you're flying international. That I can't speak from expertise about. If somebody has some comments, go ahead and put it on the blog and tell me what those are. But know the laws of where you're going to. That's very important because you are responsible for obeying that law. The other thing I would strongly recommend against, don't ever put any kind of a sticker or anything on your bags that have a declared firearm in them. Don't put anything that indicates that there's a firearm in there. You're just asking for potential theft. If you're carrying, if you're taking a long gun on an airplane, do the best you can to put it in some kind of a case that's not obvious. All right, get creative, and you know, don't put it in a Winchester box or a Marlin box or something like that. You know what I mean? Don't put it in something that shouts, "There's a gun in here." Try to be as discreet as you possibly can. And that's just common sense. Think about that. But that's about it. That's the process of flying with handguns. Be real careful. By the way, ammunition. How could I forget about ammunition? Yes, you are required to take ammunition with you in your checked luggage. Now, a couple of things on ammunition. Every airline varies just a little bit, but I think the general rule is you're allowed to take about 11 pounds of ammunition with you. 11 pounds in weight. That's actually a lot of ammunition when you think about it. So, no, you're not going to be able to put a 500-round ammo can, folks, in your checked luggage. I doubt that. But 11 pounds of ammunition, and every airline that I've flown, when I get on their website says that the ammunition can be put inside of the same bag as your weapon. It cannot be put in the locked case with your weapon, but it can be put in the same checked bag. But it has to be in the factory packaging. Now, one time I had an airline let me slide on that, but most of them insist that it's in the factory packaging. So, save your empty factory ammo boxes. I saved some of those plastic boxes that that Federal HydroShocks come in. If you buy Federal HydroShock ammunition, it comes in a real good plastic container when you buy it. Those are excellent. It doesn't, you know, the brand doesn't have to match the label. It just has to be in a factory container. So I save about, I think I've got five or six of those. And I normally carry about 80 to 100 rounds with me because, folks, I'll tell you what, I don't usually go anywhere for a long enough period of time where I'm probably going to need more than 80 to 100 rounds. I sure hope I don't. Actually, sometimes I get a little lazy and I only take 30 or 40, especially if I'm in a hurry when I'm packing. But yes, you can take ammunition with you, and if you need more than 11 pounds of ammunition wherever you're going, ship it ahead of time or buy some when you get there. If you're going to take a training course somewhere and you got to have 1,000 rounds of ammunition for your training class, ship UPS 90% of your ammunition to your destination ahead of time. In fact, I'd ship all of it ahead of time if I needed 1,000 rounds, and I'd probably just take 20 or 30 rounds on the plane with me. All right, so that answers the question about ammunition. I almost forgot about that, and I'm glad I remembered. So, folks, thank you for listening to this show. I'm going to bring this to a close. This is the last show I'm going to do before Christmas. I certainly hope that you get some good gun stuff for Christmas. Maybe you'll get that new weapon that you've been wanting to get for a long time. And hopefully you've been able to get some good ideas on maintenance, lubrication, cleaning, and spare parts. And also transporting those firearms if you are going to travel by airplane. Thank you again for listening to episode number 21 of the Handgun World Show. My name is Bob Main. I'm your host. And why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thank you very much for tuning in. Merry Christmas, everybody, and I'll catch you next time.